Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. And welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. It's so nice to have you here on this July the 8th on the West Coast, now already July the 9th. Boy, it seems like it was just Independence Day. Well, let's pretend today's Independence Day. I've got a wonderful guest with us tonight. I don't know if we've actually got him on board yet. Before we bring him on, I just want to mention that we're following false flag events. Again, we've got fires all over California, and they're blaming these on electrical storms. Yeah, right. People have electrical storms all over the planet. However, in California, it's causing fires. Now, I know there are droughts. However, what we hear, what is actually going on, are two different things. And so we're going to keep, tabs on what's going on. I'm informed that the fires are again striking, an area that was evacuated, about 2 weeks ago or so. Anyway, with that, I'd like to bring on tonight's guest. We're going to talk about things in general. This gentleman is a metaphysical scientist. He's also a journalist and a researcher, and he's also a frequent guest on talk shows. His work is featured on his own website, educate-yourself.org, as well as rents.com. My website, directlightproductions.com, and many others around the world. And he has been with us in the past. In fact, last April, we did the last 3 days of April, we did three shows in a row, which were quite interesting. We've been talking about the galactic photos that I published. We've been talking about chemtrails, taser weapons being overused and abused by police departments around the country, as well as in Canada. And we've talked about chemtrails and sylphs. And we're going to talk about some of those things and other topics that we haven't yet covered. And my special guest this evening is Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, how are you this evening?
Very good, Don. Thank you very much for your kind introduction.
Well, I was up all night writing it, so as I did the last time. No, I'm just all off the top of my head.
Wonderful.
Welcome to the show. I know there were a few things that you wanted to talk about, and I know that you were going to do a little bit of follow-up research. Before I mention the topic, I wanted to give you the opportunity to say if you've had time to do that, and if not, you know, whatever's on your mind is good enough. You're a wealth of information.
Well, thank you. We'll probably touch on a few different things as we typically do, because there are so many important things to talk about. But I wanted to begin tonight's show with a concern about how folks are perceiving the news, and I think it's not necessary to say that mainstream media is a source of stage scripted propaganda. Most people know that now. I still listen to the news myself from time to time, simply because I'm interested in hearing what's in the news. But I do know that it's carefully shaped and controlled, and above all, coordinated. Anyone who's watched TV for the last 10 or 15 or 20 or even 30 years knows that if you were to switch channels while you're watching a news show, let's say to, well, here in the USA, you might go from channel 2 to 4 to 7, perhaps channel 11. If you're doing it during a news hour, which is could begin at 5 p.m., could begin at 6, sometimes begins at 7, if you see two news shows, very often they're covering the same identical item of news at the same moment in the show. Now, if that is scripted, prepackaged news, then nothing is. And how many times that you, they're not only covering virtually the same items, all major news, TV news outlets, even radio, mainstream media outlets, cover the same news items, and they even, you know, astonishingly, do it in the same time frame, down to the second.
Mm-hmm. And they even show the same commercials at the same time, too.
Yes, right.
Usually so, Viagra.
Yeah, right. So, to try to get a more honest presentation of the news, or even the news behind the news, we turn to alternative radio for the most part. You won't see it on broadcast TV. I don't have cable, so I don't know if there are any cable stations. I'm sure there's plenty of TV cable stations, but do they bring you hard-hitting alternative news? I don't know. I tend to doubt it.
No, they do the same thing. In fact, it's all this triviality stuff about the Masonic actors, you know, or celebrities, Britney Spears,
right.
Paris Hilton, the same stuff over and over.
So what I try to grasp some solid information, at least over broadcast radio, is I listen to, well, I'm in Southern California, I listen to, there's two stations here, A, that I have a talk format that holds my interest. And they're both what we would call alternative radio, because they don't carry the mainstream propaganda scripted lies. It's usually a much more honest news. And these stations, there's two that I listen to. One is called NPR Radio, which stands for National Public Radio, but I usually identify it in my writing as National Propaganda Radio, because that's a more accurate description of what that organization is really about. The second radio station I listen to is an FM station out of Los Angeles. It's one of five what are known as Pacifica stations that are scattered around the United States. And Pacifica stations get a lot of reach. They're replayed in a lot of markets. So, by and large, Pacifica is heard in most regions of the United States. And it's sort of considered the, let's say, the best-known, quote, alternative radio station. And they have a series of hosts that if you listen to it every day, we come to know the names well. But one of the name that I want to talk about today is a person who I've written about before on my website. She has a very large reach in the, quote, alternative news world, because her name is Amy Goodman. Her show is called Democracy Now! And she has grown by leaps and bounds in terms of reach and popularity, particularly in the last, let's say eight to 9 years or so. While she always had a reasonable listenership in the Los Angeles area and the New York area, because I think her main base of operation is New York City. Her number of the affiliates that would carry her show has grown exponentially. And now in the last year or two, perhaps, she's added television coverage to her radio coverage. So she's on community TV. She's on college radio stations. She's on Pacifica stations, of course, and other types of radio outlets that, for instance, NPR might be affiliated with, because very often you'll hear her on a station that also carries NPR programming as well. Now, much of what Amy has to say is certainly solid, good reporting, because she particularly exposes the sins of the Bush administration and the disaster called, you know, the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan and other important peripheral stories that, for instance, people in the military who refused to serve or were conscientious objector or refused to take up arms, et cetera, in Iraq. And those stories are important stories. I believe in following and talking about those stories as well, because we shouldn't be encouraging a military that is behaving more in a conduct that is more befitting of a Nazi rather than the American soldier that we were so proud of from World War II. So I'm in favor of those stories getting out. So there's much of what Amy Goodman covers on her show that I'm in tune with, agree with, and hold essentially the same point of view. Now, Amy is a member of what we call the left here in this country. So these leftists are people who, A, first believe in this dichotomy of, Republicans versus Democrat, left versus right. I no longer believe in that dichotomy, because I know it's a contrived opposition. But I used to believe it when I was younger. You know, I was born into a blue-collar, poor, working-class family, because my parents were, you know, of the Depression generation, so they were all gung-ho for Roosevelt. So I was a Democrat until, you know, I became a little bit older, and I realized much of the rhetoric I was hearing, the just kind of blind endorsement of many Democratic programs, which were wasteful. I began to see that when I was getting into my 20s and early 30s. I could clearly see this, you know, these guys have their fingers in the pie. So I was more enamored by what, quote, conservatives had to say. They seemed to be more level-headed, more logical, more fair-minded, less wasteful. So I drifted to that side of the spectrum. And then I got to the point I spent quite a bit of time, rubbing shoulders with those guys, thinking that, you know, well, these guys seem to be more interested in honest politics, etc. But I found out that once they get in power, they are just as conniving, just as self-serving, just as irresponsible and uncaring about the public's welfare as the Democrats were. So I then realized that, you know, American politics is dirty. It isn't worth the time investing into it, because the people who gravitate into office, who want to become an alderman or a mayor or a state representative or go to Congress as a senator or representative of the House, you know, they're not the type of people that I would call great people. They're almost always, always, always self-serving, duplicitous, smile in your face, stab you in the back type of people. In almost all cases, there are some exceptions, they're self-serving to a fault. So they're in it for power, money, you know, personal aggrandizement. And you get turned off by people like that. I did. In time, I got to find out that people of real character, real, desire to serve humanity, real integrity, if they try to get into politics, they usually don't win. Because the money people don't want no stinking integrity-filled guy. They want a puppet who will follow their desires and pass the bills or ran through the perks, etc., that's going to serve their special interest only. So American politics is a game of money. So I saw that. I got, again, this is many years ago, I got involved in some campaigns, really decent people I was trying to help. And you quickly realize that the money people flock to the candidate who makes it obvious that he'll play ball. And the people who are saying all the right things usually don't get elected, because it's the commercials, it's the billboards, it's the flyers, it's the trumped up stories in newspapers in which they'll paint the chosen candidate as the most sober, the wisest, the most realistic guy who's going to, you know, carry us through whatever crisis is being propagated in the local political scene there. And the other guy will be a peer. Well, you won't hear much of him, just like Ron Paul in the preliminaries, primaries. You saw how the media so assiduously avoided him. I mean, the man was running. In many cases, he was in second or third position, and they don't mention that at all. And that fiasco in Vermont and so forth, I mean, that's what happens to a really decent candidate who's really is telling it, at least fairly honestly. I wish he would have gone farther, but at least he's saying he's just simply isn't playing the typical, and just ignored. He's boxed out. The media totally black him out. So people don't hear that he's doing well here and there, don't hear his ideas, don't hear any of the splendid things that he had to say. At least the majority don't hear it because the media sees to it. The corrupt, the owned, ministries of propaganda in this country, funded by the very corrupt cabal that puts in the players of choice, the true puppets, the Hillary Clintons, the Barack Obamas, the John McCains, the John Flowers, anyone who's in their stable, let's say, and that's the vast majority of the candidates who ran, is going to get, treated well in the media. Is going to get the interviews with Charlie Rose and all the other outlets they use, NPR particularly. When they want to pump somebody or pump an idea, the guests they will choose to present that idea will be very carefully chosen. So I had an instance of listening to Amy Goodman's show on July 3. And the downside to people like Amy Goodman, and this is where I'm going in this conversation, is that those of us who listen to alternative radio, too many people are beguiled and fooled into totally acquiescing to the, let's say, the laundry list of issues that alternative hosts such as Amy Goodman are presenting. So on one hand, there's many issues that she talks about that I'm in agreement with. The wrongness of the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, the wrongness and the mistreatment of people in prisons in Iraq, Afghanistan, in Guantanamo, the rightness of people who don't want to serve in this lousy, trumped-up Nazi war of aggression to refuse. So those are the issues I'm happy that she's putting out there, because they cover those stories very well.
Ken, don't you think that she's being told to cover those issues in that manner, though?
That's it. Well, you're that's where I'm going on this.
I don't want to take words out of your mouth.
That's where we're going on this story. This is a clever subterfuge to get you meaning the listener, the average liberal listener, and there's many aspects of my character that are embraced by the leftist liberal world, okay? I, on the other hand, in some other issues, I have a more traditional approach, you know, feelings about it. And I'm not, the leftist camp will embrace illegal aliens flooding into this country as being the latest version of the Statue of Liberty and immigration and how wonderful this is going to be. Well, it's not immigration. And so I'm opposed to trying to put labels, force labels, of a square peg and try to convince the whole world it's round. So this is one of the things that I don't abide with by leftist alternative talk show hosts like Amy Goodman. So the show that she had on January 3 had two guests.
You mean July? July.
I'm sorry, July 3rd. just five days ago, had two guests that were talking about global warming. Now, Amy Goodman, one of the Illuminati issues that she promotes is the whole notion of global warming. She's also a promoter of a closely related topic, peak oil. And if anyone has had the chance to read articles on my site or other sites, you know the story about peak oil is that there's been a big propaganda effort, mainly by oil interests, but others, to try to convince the world that, well, we're running out of oil. And therefore, this is one of their perhaps unspoken justifications that they'll hope the public will believe for rising, you know, the prices of a barrel of oil. Because peak oil means, well, we've already hit the peak. Now we're drinking from the bottom of the well. That's the cover story of peak oil. And she embraced that from the very beginning. And she used to have on her show Michael Rupert, who used to be a L.A. cop who got busted for drug activities, and he spent a year or two in jail. Of course, he claims he was completely innocent and framed for that. But before that, he came from a CIA family, and the man is a CIA family. He always has been.
Mm-hmm.
And he come out with a book called Across the Rubicon, and he used to do a lot of talk show interviews. He probably had his own talk show, a lot of articles on his website, and he was building himself up to be, you know, a fearless reporter who's not afraid to take on Bush and gang, and he's going to expose all this shenanigans of 9/11. That's what Across the Rubicon. But what he does simultaneously, so that's how he gains an audience. Because we're all nodding in agreement. Yeah, that's true. Bush, yeah, it does sound like an inside job, yeah. But it's really so, yeah. But then what he does is he slips in the desired propaganda of peak oil. He's been strongly embracing the peak oil. So when he was in this country, he left this country about a year or so ago because he had big, legal troubles.
Well, he went to Venezuela, I think.
Okay.
Of all places.
We don't hear much from Michael Rupert these days. But while he was here, he was frequently on Amy Goodman's show. I've heard many shows with Rupert. And, of course, they use the bulk of the show to, you know, to promote stuff about 9/11. And that's how they kind of suck in the audience's, a belief in them, in their credibility, by giving you a large portion of information that is, you know, essentially the truth about 9/11 and Bush and all, and you know, his whole criminal gang. But they also layer in the propaganda about peak oil, about global warming, about illegal immigration, referring to it as undocumented immigration instead of illegal alien, entry.
Invasion.
Invasion into this country, et cetera.
Yeah.
So that's, and this particular show that she did on July 3 had two guys that just made me so annoyed by what they had to say. They essentially went on a propaganda holiday on the show, and of course she Amy Goodman helps to convince the listener that what they're saying is appropriate, because she's describing these guys in the most glowing terms. There was an attorney, his name was Stephen Sussman, who has a law firm. He used to called Sussman and Gottlieb, I believe, and he used to be a representative for the tobacco company. He used to represent the tobacco company side in lawsuits. You know, cancer victims were trying to sue tobacco companies for maybe 30 or 35 years. They had virtually no wins until maybe 8, 10 years ago, when tobacco fell out of favor, as it were, as a protected industry, and then suddenly some people were winning some lawsuits against tobacco companies. But I can remember during the 60s, 70s, and 80s, how many stories would pop up in the newspaper, in Newsweek magazine, Time magazine, about this family, this guy, that woman, etc., attempted to sue the tobacco company, and they would never win these lawsuits because the tobacco company steadfastly denied there's no valid scientific evidence that smoking causes cancer. It's just speculation, blah, 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 blah. Now, here we have a guy. Now, I'm asking myself, what kind of attorney becomes a representative for tobacco industry and goes into court and denies the family of cancer victims any sort of financial recovery? Who can do that again and again and again? Now, to me, this isn't my idea of a crusader rabbit. You know, this kind of guy is a hired gun. He's a corporate hired gun. It's to defend the tobacco company, you have to have a certain type of, let's say, hard shell character about you to do that. Because I couldn't do it if I was an attorney. And I may have been, the sharpest guy on the block, and I might be offered a great deal of money. I couldn't do it because I'm on the wrong side of the coin there. I just couldn't represent that side of the coin out of an inner conviction that I'm representing the wrong guys here. But that didn't stop this guy, Sussman. For 30-some-odd years, he was an attack dog for the tobacco companies. Now, apparently he's had, with global warming, a change of heart. I'm paraphrasing, but he says in the course of his interview with Amy, because Amy did want to make sure the listeners knew that this guy used to be a former attorney representing the tobacco companies in these cancer cases. Of course, she wanted to get that out there, because if she didn't reveal that, that would have been a very easy way to discredit that guy. So to prevent that thing, she says in the course of her interview with him, well, you used to represent the tobacco companies. And he says, oh, yes. He says, I finally came to realize I was on the wrong side of the issue, on the wrong side of the aisle, and what am I doing? So apparently, he makes it sound like he found religion. So he says that he and a group of his associates decided to represent a small tribe in a island up off the Alaska coast. I'm trying to remember the name of Kevlevia, something close to that. And these tribal group apparently have to be relocated to the mainland because I guess they're on a little island. They didn't say it in the story. I'm just presuming. Apparently, water's been rising, so the island's getting smaller and smaller. And the Sussman attorney is making the case that, well, global warming is responsible for the rising water. And therefore, he's instituted what he called a conspiracy lawsuit against major oil companies, because they have been deceiving the world since the global warming issue sprang into public view, which was about 2 years ago, and that in doing so, that we are, because of the propaganda of what he described as global warming deniers. Now, he's putting a label on anyone who doesn't kneel before the altar of pro-global warming promoters. Now you're a denier, much the same as Holocaust deniers are kind of a new version of the undesirable people.
Yeah, Ken, I want you to hold that thought. We have to take a quick break here for a commercial announcement, and we'll be right back. We're going to pick up this story about Amy Goodman and now the local tribe up there in upstate Alaska. You're listening to the Evident Footprints. Don Nikoloff and Ken Adachi will be right back.
The Idaho Observer, a monthly 24-page newspaper in its ninth year of addressing issues that affect all freedom-loving Americans, is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat, and it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Hey everybody, this is your new friend, Julio, and I'm talking to you because I like to listen to BDSRadio.com. I sneak over the border every day, and I go see my girlfriend. She got a computer. Come on now, sing it, girl.
And we're back with the Evident Footprints. I thought you'd like hearing that little spot there for BBS Radio, Ken.
Yes.
Okay. You were talking about the fact that this Indian group, or is it Indians or Eskimos? Let's say Native Americans.
I'm not sure. I'm going to guess it's a Native tribe. I forget the name of the tribe. And they're living on a small island that is apparently losing, the water's rising to the point that they have to relocate to the mainland. Now,
hopefully
of course,
not Iowa, right?
Well, no, I don't in any way fault the islanders. In fact, one of the ladies who was also briefly interviewed on Amy's show, who is a member of that group, said they've been petitioning the government to be relocated since the 1960s. So apparently the rising water is not a recent phenomena. But this fellow Sussman and his group, of course, wish to use this tribal group as a platform to establish a legal precedent. He is not only suing for the cost of these people to relocate, but he wants to establish culpability and liability. And part of the strategy from the time they began to pump up the global warming hysteria, which really was, if you recall, it was January of 2006, in early January, the United Nations group, IPCC, came out with their so-called report about global warming. Now, in the months prior to that, in September, October, November, December, Al Gore was in Europe trying to promote and sell his propaganda video, in Inconvenient Truth. And he was being attacked in the London Times by a very sharp personage of royalty, a Lord Monckton, and they had very astute debates taking place in the New York Times because Monckton became so riled by the numerous inaccuracies and misdirections that Gore was trying to push in that documentary. So he began just simply writing a letter to the editor, began to rebut much of the party line that Gore was pushing, and he did a very good job at it. I have those articles in the London Times reprinted on my website, and you can see the man is clearly educated in the subject, and he was not about to allow these falsifications, the falsification of data particularly, that Gore presented in that so-called documentary was huge. What they did is that they simply, in using charts and graphs for Gore, which were about, he was on a stage and they projected these onto a screen that was easily 20 or 25 feet high, about 40 feet wide, and he used a stepladder to in the presenting to the audience so he can illustrate, as this graph goes up and this is what's happening to the ice and blah, blah, blah. What they had conveniently done is that any data in the graph that presented an idea that was in opposition to the global warming trend they were trying to establish was simply removed from the data. Now, Monckton was familiar enough with the climatological history Europe, going back to the time of Christ and before. He was an authority in the area. And he pointed out in these London Times rebuttal statements that they're fudging the numbers, they're fudging the data to, you know, make this thing appear like there's something unusual going on here. But the IPCC came out with a report a few months later in January, and from that point to now, they simply have owned mainstream media. You simply don't hear anyone on the mainstream rebutting the global warming story. Even mainstream magazines like Time and Newsweek will. They ran a story about a year and a half or so ago, I recall, and they titled the Global Warming Hoax. Well, rather than present the idea that it was a genuine hoax, they spend 12 or 15 pages of Time magazine essentially presenting the notion that the people who are criticizing the so-called global warming are lackeys of the oil industry, and that they have no real scientific credentials. The real scientists, don't you know, are completely in agreement that global warming is genuine, and it's going to overtake us unless we make a full press effort here to reverse this man-caused global warming.
And the solution to that is to have the UN pass a carbon tax.
Exactly, right. The whole point of this agenda is to silence all critics, and then once, quote, we all agree that, oh, well, yeah, global warming is real, and oh, yeah, it's caused by man, and we all got this carbon footprint, now a series of regulations, a series of new agencies come into birth, new funding, billions of dollars in funding now are going to go into this game, in which they're essentially, they want to play a shell game, in which this one sells his carbon tax to that guy, and this guy gets credit, and he sells his back. I mean, this is a fraud that is just, you know, beyond any level of chicanery we've ever seen in the past with the stock market or even with the, you know, with the military-industrial complex to try to get the taxpayer to pay billions and billions for unneeded, weapons systems. This goes way beyond that. This goes way beyond that because this is worldwide. And everyone in the world is going to pay a price for this global warming nonsense if we allow it to go forward. So getting back to Amy Goodman, she first presents this guy, Steve Sussman, who's going to represent this Alaskan group, tribe, and he's suing the oil companies based on what he's calling a conspiracy theory, because this former defender of the tobacco companies, who now has religion, wants us to know that the public's health is being jeopardized here because, you know, we allow this global warming to go on. If we don't take the corrective steps, well, people moving off an island due to rising water is just the beginning. We have going to have so many lung-related illnesses because the heat problem. We're going to have an explosion of malaria. I mean, he just went on and on and on.
Did he talk about chemtrails at all?
No, he didn't bring up chemtrails. No, he didn't bring up chemtrails. Now, after Sussman, Amy introduces yet another man. Now, this guy, she says, I forget the superlatives she used, but he, according to her, he's the greatest scientist, apparently, that we have in the United States, apparently the world. I mean, this guy is from the John Kennedy School, Harvard. He's in charge of climate physics. He's the head of the Woodholes organization, two or three or four other titles. His name is John cauldron. Now this man begins to lay out the global warming agenda, and he's, I couldn't believe it, this guy is farther off the scale than Sussman is. When you listen to Holdren, oh my God, these evil oil executives who are responsible for propping up this mere handful of global warming deniers are really slowing us down, and it's not easy to overcome this. This Holdren had the nerve to say that because the media is so fair-minded, because they give equal time, he says, we can have 3,000 of the top scientists in this country who've done work in this area for 30 years affirm beyond any measure of doubt that global warming is man-made and it's real, and we'll have two or three uncredentialed, no science background obstructionists, mostly funded by the oil company, who will deny our statements, and therefore they will give them equal time. This Holdren actually had the nerve to say that he was on the side of the little guys who were struggling to get a presence in the media, while the media, according to him, is bending over backwards, giving equal time to global warming deniers. And how dare they rebut what he and his fellow world-renowned scientists are saying, because he says they know nothing about science. They have a couple think tanks that were funded by the oil companies, but they get a couple of individuals, no scientific credentials at all, who jump up and down, throw up a smoke screen about this, and says, now we have to fight against this tide of propaganda, this tide of denial. He says, in every day, every moment that goes by, we're losing time. The carbon emissions is growing, and the problems because this guy was just unbelievable. So
I thought we were running out of oil. How can that be happening?
Yeah.
We're running out of oil. Just listening to this, it's like it's a comedy of insanity. I can't call it a comedy of errors. It's just pure insanity. The spin is actually disagreeing with the spin.
Yes, that's right. That's absolutely right.
They're contradicting themselves every time they open their mouths and say something.
So, I'd like to do a story just about this this July 3 interview with these two guys, because one of the persons she played a tape segment on. John Holdren made reference to a former NASA scientist by the name of Hansen. I forgot his first name. Jim Hansen, James Hansen.
I've seen him on TV. I've actually seen him on C-SPAN.
Okay.
Yeah.
Holdren said that, fully 20 years ago, Jim Hansen of NASA, one of the most highly respected scientists, was trying to warn us of the impending danger of global warming and how the situation is going to accelerate with each passing year. So he sort of painted him as a prophet in the wilderness, as it were, whose now time is coming to bear. Then they cut to a recorded segment from Hansen in which he's petitioning Congress to pass a law that will make oil executives who are denying the global warming game as being responsible for crimes against humanity. Now, I'm telling you, this is exactly what the guy said. He says, we need to pass laws that so these people can be prosecuted for crimes against humanity because of this monstrous denial of this terrible situation the world finds itself in, global warming caused by man, that not hundreds or thousands, but millions are going to die a horrible death, because, you know, we've allowed these oil company executives and their handful of smokescreen propagandists to, you know, delay us taking the full breadth of action that's required here to stem this global warming crisis. The guy actually said this. So naturally, as I'm listening to this, I'm getting more and more upset, because I realize who's really presenting these people on the radio. Amy Goodman. Amy Goodman likes to think of herself, or presents it as, at least to the many people who send in donations to this radio station, KPFK. They had just had finished their fund drive. They raised over $1 million. When I first came to California in 1994, I discovered KPFK by accident, and I liked what I heard. Particularly the late night show was very open and free, and I sent money back then because I wanted to support them. I wasn't aware of the agenda that they're promoting now. But I wouldn't dream of sending money into a radio station, as most of these so-called public radio stations are. They're outlets for Tavistock propaganda. NPR being far worse of them all, because you're getting direct party line, mainline propaganda right from Tavistock. It's going right to the writers and producers of NPR. With KPFK, you have a mixed bag of, let's call them, deluded leftists. Many of them are completely sincere. They buy the whole leftist package. I listen to their shows. I can tell from the airiness of their logic that they're just lightweights in the mental department, and they're just kind of dreamy, la-di-da leftist types, and I'm well aware of that group. But there are people who I think are really serving Illuminati masters, and I include Amy Goodman in that group. I include, certainly, Noam Chomsky in that group, Howard Zinn, and even Bill Moyers. Bill Moyers to a lesser degree, but he's still playing the same game. None of these people will talk about 9/11 being an inside job. Well, who in this country, if you're old enough to be able to read and see videos on the internet, read books, listen to talks, etc., for the last 7 years, who is well-read and intelligent and doesn't know yet that 9/11 was an inside job? It can't be. Is it possible that Amy Goodman, having her pulse on the news of the day, she's probably earning a huge salary because she has all these markets. By the way, she's not only funded, her funding not only is she's underwritten by the Ford Foundation, which is a CIA front group, but she's also underwritten by the Rockefeller Foundation. You can't get more Illuminati than that. So she's playing this game, and too many unthinking people in the left side of the spectrum, who are well-intentioned people for the most part, are buying the whole package, because she's giving them all the horrors about the Bush crimes in Afghanistan and Guantanamo and all that, but she's also slipping in the global warming propaganda game. The peak oil, illegal invasion of this country by Mexicans, South Americans, Central Americans. And these issues are destroying us as much as the so-called the issues on the right, you know, the war expansion, wars of aggression, given these contracts, billions of dollar contract taxpayer money to rip off outfits like Halliburton, the seizing of oil fields and And the Hunt brothers recently just arranged a contract a few days ago with the Iraqis, against the interests of the Iraqi people, to get a sweetheart deal on oil delivery. So they're helping to bring us, our country, to our knees, but so are the people on the left, like Ayman Goodman. She's doing it in a far slicker way, but it's accomplishing the same goals, because there are maybe a dozen irons in the fire for the Illuminati to destroy America. So one of them is to create phony, false wars over in the Middle East, and so naturally they have to create phony, false flag, quote, acts of terror here on, you know, on American soil, or on Spanish soil, or in the island of Bali, or everywhere else where they've launched these false flag operations in which, you know, many people die unnecessarily. But they're doing it, of course, for a propaganda goal to justify, you know, the Patriot Act and the Military Commission Act and Homeland Security and cameras everywhere and so DNA samples now. They're trying so hard to gather, you know, Big Brother total control, total monitoring status, that they're looking for any excuse to force people to submit a DNA sample. Even people who are being arrested now. It used to be, a couple years ago anyway, they can only get a DNA saliva sample from a convicted felon. Now, if you're merely arrested, this could be for a traffic violation, because they arrest you these days, you know, for minor traffic violations. You're forced to give a DNA sample. That is very bad for all of us. The evil goes far beyond merely having your DNA signature, your print of who you are for identification purposes. The secret government has had technology for over 40 years in which they can direct psychotronic signals at you, radionic signals. They can make life very miserable for you. If they load your DNA signature into their computers and they decide to target you, it's very, very bad and very much something to fight at all costs to avoid giving a DNA sample.
Mm-hmm. Ken, I'd like to make a point about Ayman Goodman or really any of these folks. In the TV arena, we'll say, in the television arena of the PBS stations. And I think public broadcasting system is a misnomer. First of all, they have people hoodwinked into the idea that they're actually paying for the programming.
Right.
In a sense, yes, you're paying for programming, but you have no choice in the programming. You're paying for the programming of your mind.
Yep.
Now, let me say this, that if you ever notice, if you ever watch public television, watch the credits at the end of a show.
Oh, yes. It's
they're
the
always financed by the Annenberg Foundation.
Yes.
Now, who are the Annenberg Foundation?
Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
Walter H. Annenberg was the ambassador to the Court of St. James. And the initial funding for the Annenberg Foundation, in terms of their support, their grants of all of these TV programs that were produced for PBS, came through a company called Triangle Productions. Isn't that interesting? Illuminati Triangle, the Masonic Triangle that they use in their hand signals.
Yep.
They named the company after that. Now, he passed on, and his widow, who is Leonore Annenberg, is the chairman and the sole director of the foundation. And she herself is a former United States Chief of Protocol. I'm wondering who is the Chief of Protocol? What does the Chief of Protocol do? Do they actually decide what the brainwashing programs are going to be on public television? I really don't know, but they supposedly have given out more than 5,200 grants for, I would presume, for the production of all these different shows that they have on PBS, and they have given out more than $2.8 billion for that. Now, why are they collecting money from people if they have that kind of money behind them?
Oh, yes, that's the point. When they do fund drives on NPR, on KPFK, what they tell the listeners is that they're depending on their listeners for their very existence. And they accept no corporate funding, they say. They don't mention they accept a great deal of foundation funding. Now, what major Illuminati, well, it goes back to John D. Rockefeller at the beginning of the 20th century. He found a very clever legal methodology to not only stop paying tax, but instead of the public perceiving him as the ogre he actually was, he now led to believe that if he embraced the notion of foundations and now appeared to be a philanthropist, he could essentially not pay any taxes and hide behind this facade of philanthropy, but really use it for influence peddling, which is exactly what foundations like the Bill Gates, like the Charles MacArthur Foundation, like the Annenberg Groups, etc.
And the Rockefeller Foundation.
Exactly. They use foundations, all of these names that follow after the programming, just as you say. They are mainline Illuminati type organizations. This is the Illuminati. And they're funding it. So naturally, so people who send in money are under the mistaken belief that, no. They're just, what the Illuminati always does is they always make their victims dig their own graves. You know, the Nazis in World War II, when they took people, rounded people up from some Polish village somewhere, they took them out to the field, they made them dig trenches first. And then they shot them into the trenches that they just dug. We have Nazis here in this country, and they do exactly the same thing. They will never pay for, you know, killing or burying their victims. They'll make the victim bear that cost or that labor. And that's doubly incenses me about these fundraising efforts. What they present over the air that somehow without folks sending in the dollars, this wonderful truth to power, they use that, if I ever heard a Tavistock-created expression, it's that one. Truth to power stations that are going to, they're the only ones, according to KPFK, apparently they're the only alternative radio station in the entire country that has a lock on the truth. And that if it wasn't for the folks sending it, and I'm sorry, we have to extend the fundraiser another 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. We have to meet our quota. So they keep on, you know, upping the quota every year. So they're running these fundraisers. And I know fundraising is down in general because, A, I believe some people are beginning to catch on that KPFK is a Illuminati funded via foundation money operation, and they're essentially the suckers who are propping people like Amy Goodman up. And there are good people on KPFK. I don't consider them nearly as soaked with blatant propaganda as you might hear, you know, on AM radio with Rush Limbaugh or Hannity or any of those, but sophisticated people don't listen to those guys. Anyway, you have to see more of your blue-collar type will, you just can't stand those guys. It's just impossible.
Yeah.
So there is this market, as it were, for NPR's type of presentation. It's sort of, they want to pretend to look even-handed, the good guys, they're interested in justice and fairness and all the time carrying water and carrying the Illuminati's agenda. And that's why I wanted to at least hash this story out. More people have to think about zeroing in on people like Amy Goodman, because too many well-intentioned, right-thinking people who aren't thinking deeply enough are easily fooled by the Amy Goodman type of propagandists, and they accept the whole ball of wax. So that was the purpose of this talk, was we must be more sophisticated than this. We have to be sharper than this. We have to be more analytical and more discerning. And when Amy Goodman is covering subjects that are true and right and should be exposed, Bush and company, etc., fine, I'll pat her on the back. But when she launches into her propaganda routine and puts up two simply rank deceptionists on her show on July 3rd, and then pretend as if that the story is all over, it's written, anyone who denies global warming is obviously a lackey for the oil company, I'm not going to let that fly. She deserves a great deal of rebuttal and criticism for this type of activity. And I hope enough people begin to catch on. And if she hears from enough people who will call her out on this sort of thing, well, she's going to temper this stuff, because I'm sure she wants to maintain her credibility profile. So
I'm certain they're telling her, Ken, exactly what to say, who to bring on, how the story has to go.
Yes.
Because, first of all, they're playing this game that we're at peak oil, which is a lie. We know that.
Right.
Lindsay Williams, who has been on my show and just retired a couple of weeks ago due to death threats to himself and his family, has been putting this message out about the non-energy oil, the non-oil crisis, let's put it that way. There, and he predicted that by 2008, according to the meetings he sat in the mid-1970s, they were going to raise the price of oil so high that gasoline would cost $5 a barrel. It doesn't even, a gallon. It doesn't even matter what they raise it to per barrel, because we're not seeing an accurate reflection of what it costs. There was a time when all this garbage started, even going back 10 or 14 years later, and I'm talking about around 1986, 1987, we were able to drill oil. They said the costs were $18 a barrel. Well, why can they today drill at a cost of 80 cents a barrel in Saudi Arabia? Why are they able to do that today in the year 2008? And back then, in 1986 or 1987, we could not afford to have to raise the price of drilling per barrel above $18. Why was it $18? Look how much money was being skimmed at that time. And that's when OPEC came out and said, well, $12 a barrel is what it's going to cost. And they said, we can't compete with that. We have to shut down these wells.
That's
well, what is it? You can't compete with the drilling, or we're out of oil. You see, they capped all the wells. And they know, and they've lied about the fact that these wells have replenished themselves naturally, that they're all full.
Yep.
Okay, that part of the story right there, and now they're saying, oh, well, it's because of OPEC that the prices are high, yet they never acknowledge the fact that the United States is part of OPEC, too.
Right.
In fact, Bush and his people are in there telling them, raise the prices. And they gave them 30-year treasury bonds for their money. They weren't paid in money. They were given bonds. And those bonds are supposed to mature this year, I believe, around August. about the same time that the gold certificates in Switzerland are supposed to mature.
Okay.
It's interesting that this is about oil and it's about gold. And the government is involved. They're making 50% of what the oil companies are taking in just on taxes alone. They never refer to that, though.
Exactly.
They're going to play this game. It's the oil company, it's global warming, and it's all their fabrications. This is all a fiction. It's total insanity. And that's why, as I was listening to you, knowing all this, I'm listening to these arguments, and these people are insane.
Yep.
And I have to watch my mouth because I might swear. And I don't want to do that. It's crazy. It's absolute insanity.
But we have to first recognize it and point it out. So that was the point of launching into this story tonight. But we also have to talk about what to do about it. And I know there's probably only a couple minutes left, but and we'll just touch this subject and we can pick it up again on the next talk. But we have to do more than... I just had an email from someone from England about another matter. And in my response, I think I said that you have to do more than just, A, recognize this... the subterfuge and be able to see through it and to see who's really playing what games on us. You have to do more than that. And just complaining about it, saying, you know, patting each other about, oh, gee, we know all about the New World Order. We know who the players are. Oh, yes, we can see the obfuscation there now. Oh, yes, by golly, we're good. But just talking about it, recognizing it, and complaining about it does not stop it. What stops it is stopping the people, meaning the legislators, who you have at least the ability to replace, get them out of office. Just talking about it doesn't stop anything. I get a lot of people that send me email because they get frustrated and they want to take a direct, they boast about taking direct physical action. Oh, there's going to be a war. Boy, there's so many Americans that got guns. Let them try and come and get me. They're going to take this, you know, my cold. They're not going to get this gun unless they take it from my cold dead hands. That sounds okay if you just want to get off steam and have a little emotional release. That doesn't solve anything, though. That doesn't stop the New World Order either. You just can't make bravado statements and somehow think it's going to go like a Rambo movie. It doesn't work like that in real life. So where's the real power? In elected office. Now, I just put up a note today, found out David Icke is running for an elective office in England. And now, he did a video press conference, and I haven't seen it yet, although I posted it to my website. And I'd be very pleasantly surprised to see if he got elected. Because one fellow that I have great... I admire tremendously in England because he really can recognize the wheat from the chaff, and he has the oratorical skills and the debating skills to represent himself very well. It's George Galloway. Now, I love hearing Galloway talk because he knows the story. He's not going to be, and then he has a chance. Doesn't get the chance that often, but sometime in certain television programs will have him do a one-on-one debate, let's say with Richard Perle or David Frum. My God, he just cuts these guys down at their knees. He just doesn't take one moment of crap from them. In fact, Richard Perle was so intimidated by Galloway, he simply refused to debate. He says, well, I'm not going to dignify this by responding to any of those questions. But, yeah, he wasn't going to respond to those questions because Galloway was making a fool of him. And anything he did say in response would have demonstrated just what a sack of lard Pearl is. So, anyway, Galloway's one individual. And you have this fellow who, what's his name? Monabat, I think, is also who was doing so well in exposing the Lisbon Treaty game. You just get a couple followers. It's just amazing. We have legions of paid propagandists, mouthpieces, liars, distortionists, propagandists bombarding us daily, and yet the public resonates in a flash to anyone who speaks the truth. And that's, and of course, thank God Galloway has the ability to handle himself well in a debate. And I remember when he came to the United States about a year and a half or 2 years ago when he talked before the Senate, oh my God, it was simply a tour de force of Mr. Smith comes to Washington. He just put those clowns in their place. And they need it. They need to be put in their place. Well, we need more Galloways. So if David Icke runs and wins, wonderful. And people in this country have to think about electing people who are loyal to the Constitution, who will publicly admit or own up to the fact that the New World Order is attempting to destroy this country. And they've got, 99% of our politicians totally blackmailed and in their pocket, and they are doing their bidding. And signing petitions isn't going to do any good. Don't waste your time. What you got to do is organize politically and find your own candidate. Don't look to the professional candidate world. Good Lord, don't think about getting a lawyer for a candidate. Find one of your own, an intelligent and articulate person who's dedicated, and you rally around him and start getting that man's name on a ballot. Even start with this, city council. It's the aldermen. It's the easiest elections. If you got to start somewhere, start there. But people in this country should try to get state representatives, and then from there you can control the directions of the conventions, and that makes a difference. Who gets put up can make a difference, I should say. Who gets put up for president? We have a situation in this country in which the bulk of the federal government is in the hands of traitors. Now, maybe they'll never admit to themselves that they're traitors, but they're enabling the New World Order, Big Brother, the police state society, the loss of constitutional liberties. They're allowing it to go forward. In my book, that's a traitor. If you aren't upholding the Constitution, you're a traitor.
I was
going to
say, they're doing it under the threat of having their dirty laundry exposed.
Oh, yes, I'm well aware.
They're compromised. And if I may make a suggestion, we're out of time. Let me close by saying you made a valid point in choosing someone who is going to uphold the Constitution. And this is for the listening audience. You hear us say this time and again. How many of you have a copy of the Constitution? And those of you who have a copy of it, how many of you read it or have read it and know what it entails? How many understand it? And maybe it would behoove us sometime to do a show just on the Constitution.
Yes,
itself.
We should. Excellent, excellent idea. We should take two or three shows that just cover the Bill of Rights, one by one, so that
I'm in agreement because it's one thing to say it, and we assume that people are going to read. If you don't show somebody a movie of the Constitution with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie,
right.
They don't want to look at it.
Right.
And as our rights are being eroded illegally, by the way, and it can be overturned immediately, because this is just organized crime posing as government. That's all it is.
That's exactly. I just posted a week or so ago. Gore Vidal said the same thing. That's with his very words. The U.S. government is merely a organizational depot for crime, for criminals. The U.S. government, he says, it's no longer a republic. Of course it's no longer a republic. It's the criminals are running the government.
Yes. Well, Ken, we're out of time, and I want to let the audience know you will be back on the 17th of July, and we'll see. Maybe we'll start bringing up these issues on the Constitution. But I'd like to thank you for coming on Evident Footprints and sharing all this information with us. I want to also let the listening audience know they can visit your website, educate-yourself.org. And you can read about many of these things we've been talking about tonight right there on Ken's website. It's got one of the best research sites in the world.
Thank you.
And I'm proud to have you as a guest and a friend.
Thank you. And all of these interviews with us are going to be posted on my website, so we'll try to draw more people into this into these shows so we can share these ideas with a larger group of people. I'm happy to say that I do get a fair amount of mail and interest from other countries around the world, particularly England and Australia, New Zealand and South Africa. So there's many people around the world that are interested in virtually the same topics that we're talking about here in America, because the same new world order is imposing the same sort of draconian police state society on them. But particularly the people in England are being far more imposed upon by Big Brother than we are here. And I feel great sympathy with the English people.
Okay, Ken. Well, we'll pick up on this next time you're with us, and I'll say goodnight to you. Also, to the listening audience, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Our special guest tonight was Mr. Ken Adachi. Again, visit his website at educate-yourself.org. Special thanks to Donald Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And for running the sound tonight. Great job, Don. And I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. Tune in tomorrow night. My special guest will be Mr. Winfrey and the Council of Elohim and the Ra Group. All are going to answer our questions. You don't want to miss tomorrow night's show. In the meantime, have a good night.
Everybody, this is